Okay, today's daf is Erev and Daf Yotet. It's been a while since I've been able to say today's daf is Erev and Daf Yotet, because when I'm behind, I just say we're holding in. So today's daf is Erev and Daf Yotet. And we're about to catch up before Shabbat. Rama Rabbi Yirmiya, we're holding the top of Yud Tet Amud Aleph. Rama Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar. Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar said this follows: Bo Re'esh, looking at the Kodesh Baruch Hu Midat Basar V'Dam. See how different the Kodesh Baruch Hu is from people. Midat Basar V'Dam Mitchay V'Dam Harigel Malchut Matilin Lo Chaka LeToch Piv. When a person is liable to the death penalty by the king, they put a board in his mouth because they should lo yikal at the Melech, so he doesn't curse the Melech when he's being brought out to kill. Midat the Kodesh Baruch Hu. However, the way of Kodesh Baruch Hu is different. Adam Mitchay V'Harigel Makom Shotek. Right, when he's Chayev Mita, he's completely silent, right? He doesn't say anything. Shenamar lecha dumiyat teilah. Right, that for you, silence is praise, because that's a reference to how people do not curse the Kodesh Baruch Hu when they're put to death by the Beit Din. Velo od el mishtabach shenamar teilah. And furthermore, he's even praised because they say teilah. They praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu when they're put to death. Velo od el shadome lo kiilu makrivin korban. Right, and even more so, the person is being put to death sees as if a sacrifice is being brought to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Shenamar ulecha yishulam nedar. Right, as to you, a vow is being fulfilled, meaning the execution of the proper judgment in a Beit Din is fulfilling a vow, and then Kodesh Baruch Hu should be praised because it's a person of Tzedek Mishpat, and people recognize that when they're liable to the death penalty. And this is reflected by the statement of Rishum and Levi, as he expounds upon the pasuk of those who pass through the valley of Bacha, the trees transform into wells, and the rain brings bracha. Right? How exactly does that pasuk mean that? Well, it means that as follows. If you expound the pasuk in the following way, who are the people who pass by? The people who pass over the ratzon of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, meaning they do averus. Right? And furthermore, emek shema mikin lahem gehenum. And what is it? What is the reference to the valley? The valley is a reference to the valley that they're going to go to, Gehenim, right? Habacha shebochin moridin dmaot kimein shalshitin, right? And what does it mean, habacha? Right, those who cry, right? That it referring to those who cry and shed tears like a spring. Gam brachot yateh mura shevetzdikin alein etzdin. Right. Still, they bring about brachas, shows that they accept that there's a righteous judgment being performed there. So when you darshan out that pasuk in the following manner, it seems like a raya that people recognize the judgment that was done to him was divine, and then so they praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu even though they're being put to death. Ve'omrim lefanav rabbanu shel olam yafeh danta yafeh zachita yafeh chayavta. Right. They say those righteous people say before Kodesh Baruch Hu, you judge properly, you found proper innocence, and you found proper guilt. Right, and what you did was proper when you made Gehenim for the wicked people and Gan Eden for the righteous people. Ain't it? Is that really true? V'amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rashaim, afilu al pitcho shel Gehenim, einam chozim b'tshuva. Rashaim, even when they're at the entrance to Gehenim, they don't go back in tshuva. And yet we're supposed to accept that these people are have acknowledged the divine justice of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they're praising him for punishing them for the averas that they did. But the Rashaim do not go back. They don't even do tshuva at the entrance to Gan Eden. Right, at the entrance to Gehenim. So how could it be that we think that Rishayim accept their divine justice that was brought upon them for the affair that they did? V'yatzu ro'u enam chozim b'tshuva v'yatzu v'ro'u b'figrei anashim haposhim bi. Right? They go out and how do we know? By the way, how does Reish Lakish know that the Rishayim do not do tshuva? As it says that they went out and they saw the people. At the entrance to Deganim, they went out and saw the people who are sinning against me. Shepashu lo ne'mar ela haposhim. It doesn't say shepashu, the people who did averas, rather the people who are doing averas. So even the people at the entrance to Gehenim do not stop doing their averas. They're still sinning against God. Sheposhim v'olchim lolam, because they're constantly doing averas. Right? So that's clear from the Lashon that it's clear from the Lashon that the people who are doing the Averas continue to do the Averas, and they don't stop. And that's what Reish Lakish Shita, that the people do never, the over Averas, the Rishayim, never stop doing Averas. So how would it be the case that we believe that at the end, all of a sudden when Rishayim are put to death, they recognize their divine judgment as being from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they praise him if those over Avera, we believe, continue to do their Averas even when they're going to Ganim. Lo kasha, it's not difficult. Right, the people who accept the divine justice are the Ovrei Avera in Klal Yisrael who accept the divine justice, whereas the people who do Averas when they are amongst the idolaters, they're the ones who do not recognize the divine justice, and they continue to sin. And this actually is very logical conclusion. Because if you were to not make that a following distinction between Jews and non-Jews, Then you'd have a contradiction between two statements made by Reish Lakish. The Amar Reish Lakish, as Reish Lakish says, Poshei Yisrael ein ur gehenim sholetet bahen, that the sinners of Klal Yisrael, the hell fires do not really have any effect on them. Right? How does he know that? Kal v'chomer mizbeach zav, because he makes a kal v'chomer from the golden altar. Ma mizbeach zav, she'ein alav, ela k'ovi dinar zahav. The mizbeach zahav only has one dinar thick of gold surrounding it. Amad kamashanim v'lo shaltu be'or. Right? For years it existed and the fire never burned through it. Poshei Israel shem mimulayin mitzvah karimon, whereas the Ovrei Avera, the people who sin amongst Klal Yisrael, who are filled up with mitzvot like a pomegranate, Shneamar, as it's written, Kepel Harimon Rakatayech, right? As it says, a pomegranate in your temples. What does that mean? Amar Rishim Melakish, Rishim Melakish expands as follows: Al Tikru Katech Ela Rikatech. Rather, read. Your empty ones, Shefilu Rikani Jemeach Milein Mitzvot Kirimon, that even your empty ones, even the sinners, are still filled with mitzvot. Allah Hakam Kama. All the more so they're not going to be burnt by hell fires, right? So what exactly was Reish Lakish's statement there? Just so we're clear, Reish Lakish's statement was, we can learn a Kal V'chomer from the Mizbeach HaZahav. The Mizbeach HaZahav was protected by a thin layer of gold, and yet the wood was never burnt by all the fire. So, members of Klal Yisrael, who are even filled with sin, are not going to be affected by the fires, because they are also filled with mitzvot. So members of Klal Yisrael who have sinned are also filled with mitzvot. And that's what it means, that the empty ones are still filled with mitzvot. They're all the more so not going to be affected by the fires. So Reish Lakish makes this distinction in the effect the Gehenim is going to have on Jews and non-Jews, and therefore it's logical to assume that when Reish Lakish was talking about the people who never stop sinning, right, he was talking about the Ovdei Kochavim, whereas when he was talking about the people who, even if they're Rishayim, they recognize the divine judgments done to them for when they went to Gehenim, those are the Jews, they come to recognize the divine justice. Ela harichtiv over Emek HaBacha, then how do you see the following pasuk of those who pass by the Emek HaBacha? Ahu, right? That is a reference to those who are sent to Gehenim, and then Avram Avinu comes and he pulls them out because he identifies them as Jews and he pulls them out of Gehenim. Bar Misrael Shabal Bat Ovik Chavim, except for a Jew who went went and married or slept with an Oved Kochavim, an adulter, demashkor lato velo mivashkar le, right? Because they pulled their foreskin so it looked like they weren't circumcised, so they could sleep with an Oved Avodah Zarah, and Avram Avinu didn't recognize them. He couldn't pull them out of Gehenim. He didn't realize they were Jews. Matkifla Rav Kana. Rav Kana challenge as follows: Hashda de Amar Haposhim de Pashe Veazli, but that which Reish Lakish interpreted Haposhim, right, the sinners, as people who sin and never stop sinning, that's a difficulty in the lashon. Ela Meata Dichtiv Hamotzi Umale, but that which is written by Klal Yisrael, that Kadosh Baruch Hu took them out of Egypt and brought them into Eretz Yisrael, and not in Hotzi Veheela, rather Motzi Umale, take them out and bring them in. Demasik Udemafiku. That makes it sound like he is constantly taking them out of Egypt and constantly bringing them into Eretz Yisrael. Rather, that Lashon can clearly imply in the past tense, Ela de Asik Vapik. Rather, it clearly means that he took them out in the past and he brought them in the past, right? And it's not supposed to indicate that he's continuously doing so. Hachanami de Pashihu, right? And so here too, you have to say that Poshim is still a reference to their past tense and not that they're continuing to sin, not like Reish Lakish says. From Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar says as follows: Shlosha Ptachim Mishaganim. There are three entrances to Gehenna. Echad b'midbar v'chad b'yam v'chad b'Yerushalayim. One's in the wilderness, one is in the sea, and one is in Yerushalayim. B'midbar chtiv v'yerdu heim mechol asher lahem chayim she'ola. Right? It says by Arad Korach that they and all that belong to him fell to she'ol, which is Gehenim. B'yam nechtiv, in the ocean, as it's written, mibeten she'ol shavati shemate koli. Right, as it says, from the belly of Sheol, I heard a crying out voice, and that is Yonah, who was in the sea. Yerushalayim nichtiv, and the entrance to Gehenim in Yerushalayim is as follows: Ne'um Hashem Asher Or Lo Betzion V'Tanur Lo Yerushalayim. Right, so Hashem. So says Hashem, who has a fire in Zion and an oven in Yerushalayim. V'tanu de'beir Rishmal taught on that. Asher or lo betzion zo gehenom. Right, the fire in Yerushalayim, that's hell. V'tanu lo betzion zo pitcha shegenom. Right, and the furnace in Yerushalayim, that's talking about the entrance to Gehenim. V'tu leka, are there no other entrances to Gehenim? V'hama Rabbi Marion, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Amra La Tana Rabba Bar Marion de Be Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. So, a couple of different people may have said it in a couple of different places. Shtei Timarot Yesh Be'Ge Ben Hinnom. There are two palm trees in the valley of Ben Hinnom. Ve'ole Ashan Ben Hinnom. Smoke comes out of them. Ve'zohi Sheshaninu Tzinei Har HaBarzel Kesherot. And that's what we meant when we said that the palm trees of the Iron Mountains can be used as lulavs. We're talking about those palm trees. Vizoi Pitzal Shegehenim, right? And that place where the steam comes out between the two palm trees is the entrance to Gan Eden, is the entrance to Gehenim, sorry. So clearly there's another entrance to Gehenim beyond the wilderness and beyond Yerushalayim, beyond the ocean. Tima Hainu Yerushalayim. Yeah, just say that is the entrance in Yerushalayim, because Ge Ben Hinnom is in Yerushalayim. That's the entrance to Yerushalayim between these two palm trees. Amar Yeshua ben Levi, Shemod Yesh Gehenim. There's seven names for Gehenim. Sheol, it's called Sheol, Avaron, Annihilation. It's called Be'er Shach. Right, a well of destruction, uvor shaon, right, a pit of suffering, sorry, a pit of shaon, a pit of article translates as turbulent waters, vetit ha yavein, or mire, vitzal mavet, or the shadow of death, veeretz tachtit, and the underworld, sheol dechtiv. Sheol is, we know it's called Sheol because it's written, Mibeten Sheol, Shavati Shemata Koli, right? That I took you out of the stomach of Sheol. I cried, when you heard my voice. Avdon, Nechtiv, it's called Annihilation, and it's written, Ha Yesupar Bekever Chastecha Emunetecha Be'Avedon, right? Your kindness, can be recounted in the grave, your faithfulness in Annihilation, right? So Annihilation is a reference to hell. Be'er Shacha, Nechtiv, the well of destruction. It's written, Ki lo tazov nafshi lishol lo titin chastecha lirot shachad, right? As, you will not, abandon my soul in Sheol, you will not allow your, devout one to witness destruction. Uvor she'an vetit hayaven dichtiv, and, a pit of turbulent waters, or, mire, as it's written, ve'alini mi bor she'on vetit yavan, right? You brought me out of the Bor She'an and the Tit Hayavan. Vitzal Mavet Dichtiv, and the Shadow of Death is written Yoshvei Choshech Vitzal Mavet, those who sit in darkness and the Shadow of Death, the Aretz Tachtid Gemarahu. And, the fact that it's called an underworld is just an ancient tradition that we have. Vituleika, are there no other names for Gehenim? Vahaika Gehenim, right? There's also Gehenim. What about that one? Ge Shamuka Kegehenim, right? It's a valley that is as deep as the Valley of Hinnom. Shakol Yored La Al Iske Gehenim, right? And people who go there, are going there because of acts of Hinnom that they did. Acts are, immoral acts that they did. Va'ika tifate. But there's also, tafta, right? Which is another name for Gehenim. Nichtiv ki aruch metmol tifate. As it's written, that tofte was created yesterday, meaning before the creation of the world. Gehenim existed before the creation of the world. Hahu shekol ha mitpate biyetzero yipol sham. Right? That, anyone who follows anyone who is seduced by their carnal desires, they are going to go there. So it's not that Gehenim and Tafte are different names for Gehenim, rather that it's called Gehenim as an allusion to the fact that people go there when they commit immoral acts, and it's not that Tafte is a name, rather people go there when they're seduced by their Yetzer Haras. Those aren't actual names of Gehenim. The ones we mentioned earlier are actually things that Gehenim are called, and not just allusions based on, you know, thematic things. Gan Eden Amarish Lakesh. So Rish Lakish says the following about Gan Eden. Im Be'eretz Yisrael hu Beit Shan Pitcho. If it's in Eretz Yisrael, then the entrance to it is in Beit Shan. Ve'im Baravia Beit Garim Pitcho. And if it's in Arabia, then Beit Gorim is the entrance to it. Ve'im Ben Hanaro to Dumeskinin Pitcho. And if it is, if it's in the Fertile Crescent, then Du Maskanin is the entrance to it. Bavel Abe Mishtabach Beperi Dimara Yemina. In Bavel, Abaye would praise the fruit of the south side of the river, of the Euphrates River. Rava Mishtabach Beperi Diharpanya. Right? And Rava say that the fruit on the north side, are better because they are, because they get, nutrients from the river of Harpanya. Uvenehen kimlo shati. Right, so let's go back to the Mishnah that we spoke about. If cattle can walk through, between the double posts, basically they have to have enough room that cattle can walk through them. Pshita. Well, isn't it obvious? We're commenting on the following, right? We said they have to be tied up and not loose. Meaning what type of cattle, right? They're tied up and not loose, right? That's what we're commenting on here. Pshita. Obviously, if they're tied up, they're not loose. Since you taught me that they're tied up, I know that they're not loose, right? What might you have said if I said kshur and not lo mutaro? Kshurot ke'en kshur, right? They're kilu. It's like they're tied up. Aval mamash lo. But they're not actually tied up. Mash malan velo mutaro, right? It just means to tell you that they're not loose, right? So Basically, I would have said that they're not actually tied up, rather they're tight together. That's what I meant to say by kshurot. Kshurot does not mean that they're literally physically tied to each other, rather they're tight together. There's no gaps in between them, right? Kamash Milan, that why do I say kshurot velo mutar? That they actually have to be tied together. That's what I'm talking about here. The size that the cattle would walk through if they were actually physically bound together. Okay, another part of the Mishnah. Echad nechnesev echad yotze. Right? One goes in and one goes out. It needs to have enough room that one could be going in while another one could be going out. Tana, Rivka nechnesev, Rivka yotze. We're not talking about one cattle going in and one cattle going out amongst the three. Rather, we're talking about the group of three going in while the group of three is coming out. It has to be big enough that the three can pass by each other at the same time. That is the maximum gap of between the boards in the area surrounding the well. Tana Rabbanan. Rabbis thought, Kama Rosha Veruba Shapare. Now, how much is the head and most of the cow? That is Shtei Amot. Right? That's two Amot. The Kama Ovia Shapare. And what is the thickness of the cow? Ama Vishne Shlish Ama. Right? That is 1 2/3 Ama. So now that we have the measurements of two Amas and 1 2/3 Ama, Shehen Keeser. So that reaches approximately 10 Amot if all six cows want to walk through together, right? 1 2/3. The thickness is 1 2/3. So there's six cows. That's 10 amot that the cows need in order to walk through. So what is the maximum size gap that can exist between these boards? A gap of 10 amot. That is Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. But Rabbi Yehuda says it's not six cows walking through, right? It's two sets of four cows. That's eight cows walking through. Right? He says it's approximately 13 amot and approximately 14 amot that you're allowed to have a gap in between the boards for eight cows to walk through. Each of their thickness is 1 2/3 amot. Ke'eser? What do you mean, roughly 10? It's exactly 10. Ha, Eser Havyan. It's exactly 10 amot. Why do you teach me roughly 10 amot you're allowed to have between the boards? Mishum debay lamitne seifa bishel shlosre. Because the seifa had to teach roughly 13. And that's why we taught you roughly 10. Just so the parallel language. Kishloshre tefe Havyan. But why does it teach me roughly 13 amot? It's more than 13 amot if you do 1 2/3 for each of the eight cattle. Mishum debay lamitne kerbasre. Right? Because you had to teach me roughly 14. So because I taught you roughly 14, I taught you roughly 13, and then I taught you roughly 10. Just so this parallel language. Uchar basre, lo havia. But what do you mean roughly 14? There wasn't 14. It's not a full 14 amot. Amrapabi, eteret al shoshre, vein and megir at lar basre. Yeah. The reason we taught you approximately 13 and approximately 14 is because it was greater than 13 but less than 14. That's what we were trying to tell you was the size. And because that was an approximation, so we also taught the approximation by the 10 amot for the sake of parallel language, right? Amar Rav Papa before Shimona, right? So we're talking about when it comes to a water hole that is 8 amot, the kuli amot lo pligi. No one argues, debainan, delobainan pshutin, right? That you don't require those additional boards. Right, if it's only 8 amot watering hole, then no one says you need additional boards, because if you put four double-sided boards at the corners of an 8 amot bore, it's close enough in that you don't require additional boards in order to close off that area. But bore shtemisrei, when it comes to a pit of 12 amot, the kule alma lo pligi debayin and pshutin, and if the pit itself is 12 amot wide, then everyone agrees that you do need the additional boards. Okay, so where is this machloka between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Ki pligi mishmon ad shtemis, right? The argument happens when it's between 8 and 12 as to whether you need the additional boards. Rabbi Meir, bainan pshutin. According to Rabbi Meir, you need additional boards there. Rabbi Yehuda, lo bainan pshutin. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you do not need the additional boards there. It's still small enough of an area to not require that. For Rapapa, Maika Mashmalan, what's Rapapa teaching us? We know, based on the size of the cattle, that is 1 2/3, exactly how much Rabbi Yehuda would require, exactly how much Rabbi Meir would require. You don't need to teach me when Rabbi Yehuda would require it and when Rabbi Meir would require it. We know, based on the size of cows, we know that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir hold six cows or eight cows. We know based on the size of the cows of being 1 2/3, exactly when and when they would not require the additional boards to be partitioned up to create an additional partition. What is Rabbi Papa coming to teach us about the sizes necessary? We know exactly what size would be necessary according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Papa, Maika Mashulan. Tanina, we learned it in our Braita. Rapapa Braita lo shami elu. No, Rapapa didn't have that Braita that taught us the width of the cows. So, Vakamashvalan kebraita. So, Rapapa was teaching us exactly what we learned from the Braita. He just didn't have the Braita, so he thought to teach it explicitly. Arich Yoter Batel Chitzat Chatzer Shivsha Simon. Right? So the mnemonic for the following sugya is those six things that we're about to ask about: an extended board, or more of a board, or what if there's a mound, or what if there's a partition, or what if there's a courtyard, or what if it's dried up. That is the sign. Because we're about to ask six questions about these types of partitions that have to do with those six words. Abaye asked Rabbi the following: Heirich b'diyom din k'shure k'shiur pshutin. The Rabbi Meir Mahu. What if instead of adding additional boards, you just extended the existing double boards the size of what the additional board would have been? Amar le tanitua. It's clear already from taught in the Mishnah. Bilvad shiyarbe b'fasin. Right, as long as you add to the boards. Right? My love, demarich b'diyom din. What does it mean to add to the boards? You add size to the existing boards. So clearly, Rabbi Meir will be okay with it. Lo, demafish fa'vi pshutin. No. What it means to say is, until you add additional boards. Ihachi, hai, ubavachi yarbe b'fasin, achi yarbe pasin mibayle. Then that which it teaches, if that were true, that you have to add additional boards, what it should have taught was, that you are adding on to, that you're adding new boards, not that you're adding on to existing boards. Rather, you're adding on new boards. That should have been the lesson. Tani Ajiyar Bapasin. Yeah, so, you know, the lashon of the Mishnah should have been taught that you are adding on additional boards. Teach it like that. She Yarbe Pasin and not Yarbe Bepasin. Right? Ikeda Amri, right? The difference in the lashon there is Yarbe Pasim is adding on boards. Yarbe Bepasim is adding on two boards. Ones that implies that the boards are already there. Ikeda Amri, some say that, Rabbi answered him in the following way. Tanitua, we already learned it in the Mishnah. Uvavad she yarbe b'pasin. Right? Because the Mishnah says that as long as you add, on two boards. My love, the mafish v'avid pshutin. Right? Doesn't that indicate that, you're adding on additional boards? Lo, the marach b'diyumdin. What do you mean? Does that imply that you're adding on additional boards? Look at the lashon. It says that you're adding on two existing boards. Achinami mistabra. And saying that you're adding on to existing boards seems to make a lot of sense. Right, as it's written explicitly in the Mishnah that you're adding on to existing boards. Shmamina, right? So we can see from there that that it's valid to add on to existing boards because that seems to be the lashon of the Mishnah, right? So it's unclear what Rabbi actually answered him because the first version of events said that that he would not be okay with it, that you have to add on additional boards, and even though that doesn't sound great with the Mishnah, you have to change the way the Mishnah sounds. Alternatively, he said, yeah, you're allowed to do that because that's exactly what the Mishnah says, Shema Amina, that you're allowed to do that, right? So it's unclear whether he answered them that Rabbi Meir would be okay with it or not okay with it, and it's unclear whether he said that you have to change the way the Mishnah reads or not change the way the Mishnah reads. Ba'aminei Abayim Rabba. Abaye asked Rabba another question. Yoter Mishalosh Asurei Ama Vishlish Rabbi Yehuda Mahu. So what if the gap was greater than 13 and a third amot? What would Rabbi Yehuda say? Pshutin avid o bidyum din marich? Should you add additional boards there, or should you extend the existing boards? Amar le tanitua. Isn't it clearly taught in the Mishnah? Says Rabbah. Bim, kama hen miku ravin. Right, how close do the double boards need to be to each other? Kadei Rosh Veruba Shapara. Enough to fit most of the cow, its head and most of the cow in the area around it. And how far away are they allowed to be? Afilu kur, afilu kurayim. Even one or two kur from each other. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and the Rabbi says as follows: Beit Satayim Mutar. They're allowed to contain within it two Beit Sa'ah. Yoterim Beit Satayim Aser. But if there's greater than two Beit Sa'ah, then it's going to be Aser. V'chama meruchakin. Sorry, I skipped. I went back. Beit Satayim Mutar. Yoterim Beit Satayim Aser. Right? If there's any more than two Beit Sa'ah, it's going to be Aser. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda. They said to Rabbi Yehuda, Iyata mode bedir v'sar v'muktzah v'chatzer. Right? Do you not agree to the fact that a fold, a coral, backyard, and a courtyard, afilu bat chamisha kurin, afilu bat asara kurin, right, can be even five or ten kor. Amar lehen, then Rabbi Yehuda said to him, zo mechitza ve'elo pasin. He says, yeah, but these are very, very different. Because these are mechitzot, those where you're allowed to have five or ten kor are when they're surrounded by mechitzot, by walled off areas, but here are pasin. These are just surrounded by boards. They are not allowed to be, so great in size, right? That's why I limit it to two beit se'ah. Vim ita, zo mechitza, ve'zo mechitza mi'bayle. Now, if you wanted to say that Rabbi Yehuda spoke about extending existent walls. Well, then if you extended the existent walls, that wall would be so big that it would no longer be considered a board. It would be considered a mechitza. And so Rabbi Yehuda would say they both have a din of mechitza from the fact that it says that one is a din of mechitza and one is a din of a board. Clearly, he's not talking about extending the existent boards, because then the boards would be so big they'd basically be a mechitza, and then each one he'd be talking about would be a mechitza. From the fact that he says that those are mechitza and these are boards, he's talking about adding new boards so that each board is so small that it cannot be considered a mechitza in and of itself. Hachikamer. No, you could just say that Rabbi Yehuda says as follows, right? Zo Torah mechitza aleha uprutzon be'eser, ve'eilu Torah pasin aleha uprutzon be'shalosh esrei ama ushlish. That, not that he's saying that those are definitively mechitza and these are definitively boards, rather, those have a status of mechitza and you can only have 10 ama gaps, and this is the status of boards, and they can have up to 13 and 1/3 ama gaps. Ba'aminei abayim, Rabbi Abayi asked the Rabbi another question. Te'el mitlaket asara mitoch arba. Right? What if you have a mound of earth that's 10 tvachim high and 4 tvachim, four amot wide, so it's an independent, area. Nido mishum diyumad, nido mishum diyumad. Can we consider that a double post if you have this mound of earth on one side of the well, is that considered a double post, right? That, would permit you to carry within that well area. Amar le tanitua, right? Isn't it clearly learned in the Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, says, haita sham even mirubat. If you have a square, rock in the place, roin oto, kilo techakal, we see it as if it was broken into two directions, meaning if it's big enough so that you have if the rock is big enough that you have an ama in one direction and an ama in another direction, we see it as if it's literally broken into two with an ama in one direction and an ama in another direction, and that's completely fine. And that is completely fine. Roin kilutakan. Vim lav, nidon mishum diyuman. And therefore it constitutes as a double-sided board. Vim lav, but it's not an ama in both directions. Eino nidon mishum diyuman. Then we don't consider it like a two-sided board. Rabbi Shmuel benosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer. Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, says, haita sham even agula. If there's a circular rock there, roin kiilu sheilu tichakik, vitichalik, viyeshba amalakan, vamalakan, nidon mishum diyuman. Vim lav, eino nidon mishum diyuman. If you have a circular rock there, we see the circular rock as if it was carved out to be like a square rock. And then we ask, does the square rock have enough room to be an ama on one side and an ama on the other side? And if it does, then it's the size of a double board. And if it does not have that, then it's not the size of a double board. My love, Baka Miflagi. Now, do they not argue over the following point? Right? Mar Savar Chad Roin Amrinan. Umar Savar Tre Roin Lo Amrinan. Sorry. Mar Savar Chad Roin Amrinan. Tre Roin Lo Amrinan. Umar Savar Afilo Tre Roin Nami Amrinan. One holds that you're allowed to say this thing is considered like that thing once, but you cannot say this thing is considered like that thing twice. And the other holds, you can say this thing is considered like that thing even twice. What is the context here? The context here is to say that if you have a square rock, we can say it's considered like it has an ama on one side and ama on the other side, because it's already a square rock, so it's the right shape. And just we see, if it's big enough to have an ama on one side and an ama on the other side, then we see it as if it already has an ama on one side and an ama on the other side. Even though it isn't exactly built in an L form to have an ama on one side and an ama on the other side, since it's big enough to do that, we see it as if it is like that. But we can only say we see it like this once. Whereas those who say that it is a circular rock works as well, because we see the circular rock like a square rock, and then we see the square rock as if it is carved into an L shape. That's two times that we say that we consider it, right? So the question is, can we say we consider it to be once, or can we even say we consider it to be even twice? That is the machloket. Now, based on that machloket, we can answer the question as to whether or not we see it like twice, right? Because a mound of earth is circular. So the mound of earth we have to first see as a square and then see in its, then see whether it's big enough to have an ama on one side and an ama on the other side, right? But that is that's two things that we have to say. We see it like this and then we see it like that. So it's explicitly addressed in the Mishnah when Rabbi Lazar says that we only use we see once and we don't use we see twice. Ba mine abaye miraba. Abaye asked Rabbi another question. Chi tzadakanim, a partition made up of reeds. And in the gap in between the reeds is less than 3 tvachim. Nidon mishum diyuman or lav. Do we treat that like a double-sided post or not? Amar le tanitua. Well, you can see that in the following braita. Hayasham ilan ugader o chitzat kenim. If there was a tree or a fence or a partition of reeds, nidon mishum diyuman. All those things can constitute a double-sided board. My love, kane pechom mishlosha. Now, what is the partition of reeds talking about? Isn't that talking about different reeds that are all less than 3 tvachim apart? Lo, gudrita dekani. No, we're talking about a bunch of reeds that are all growing out of the same trunk. They're not independent and less than 3 tvachim apart. Iachi, hainu ilon. Wait, we're talking about reeds that are growing together out of a trunk? That's a tree, right? So if we're talking about a tree here, we already taught tree, right? That's the same thing as a tree. Rather, it must be different than the tree, and so we must be talking about reeds that are less than three tvachim apart. Ve'elamai, can you really say that? But that causes you problems. Kane kane pachot mishlosha hainu gader. Because if you have three, if you want to say that, fine, you can't say that it's coming out of a tree trunk, because then that's a tree. But if you want to say that that reeds less than three tvachim apart, it's talking about reeds that are less than three tvachim apart, that's basically a gate. How is that different than a fence? Rather, so how do you differentiate between the reeds and the fence? You have to say as follows, tregav negadar. We're just talking about two different types of fences. One type of fence is a reed with less than three tvachim apart, and then there's a different type of fence. Hachanami tregav neilan. So I could just say the two types of trees. One is talking about a normal tree, and one is talking about a tree with reeds growing out of it, right? So either way, there's no repetition. It's just either two different types of trees or two different types of gates. Ikad amri, two different types of fences. Ikad amri, some say, gordita dekani kamibayale. Some say that Abaye asked about a hedge of reeds. Gordita dekani mai, can a hedge of reeds create a double post, right? Because it's not in an L shape. Amarle tanitua, right? It can be seen from the brayta. Hayasham gadero ilan ochitzat kanim, right? If you had a fence or a tree or a partition of reeds, nidon mishum diuman, counts as a double sided board. My love, gurita dekane. Now, isn't he talking about a hedge of reeds there to show that the hedge of reeds, even if it isn't an L post, still counts? Lo kane kane pachom shosha. No, it's not talking about a hedge of reeds that grow from a stump. Rather, it's talking about a fence of reeds with less than three tvachim of space in between them. Ihachi hainu gader. Wait, if the brayta there was talking about a fence of reeds with less than three tvachim between them, that's the exact same thing as a gather. That's the fence that we were talking about. Ve'elamai. But really, you would have to say that's the same exact thing as a gather. Gurdita dekane. But hainu ilan. But if you want to say that it's not talking about reeds that are less than three tvachim apart, and rather it's talking about reeds that are all growing out of a trunk, that's basically the same thing as a tree. Elamai yidich lamemer. And what would you respond to me? That tree gavne ilan. No, there's two different types of trees, so it's not the same exact thing as a tree. Hachanami tree gavne gader. So I could just tell you there are two types of fences. One is like a fence of reeds, and one is not a fence of reeds, right? But either way, it's not a repetition. And if you want to say that's the exact same thing as a tree, if you want to say that's the exact same thing as a fence, I would say, well, then your version is the exact same thing as a tree. But you would say there are two types of trees, so I would say, well, two types of fences. So basically, there's just an argument over what exactly Abaye asked the Rabbah. Did he ask him about the reeds growing out of the trunk, and he says we can see that from the brayta, and then they have the back and forth about the reeds growing out from the trunk and the fence of reeds? Or did he ask him about a fence of reeds, and he says we can see that from the brayta, and then they have the back and forth about the fence of reeds and the reeds growing out from the trunk? Ultimately, we reach the same conclusion, but the question of what he asked and what Rabbi answered is up to machloket. We'll stop here.